Now let's just start in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this Mother's Day. Lord, and as I prayed earlier, I'm going to pray again, Lord God, if there's one request that we as mamas can make before you, Lord, is save our children. Save our sons and daughters, Lord God. Save our nieces and nephews. Save our grandchildren. Oh, God, we just bring that request up to you on this Mother's Day, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your word that says you would save us in our households, Lord God. So we hold to that promise, Lord. I pray that you would continue to encourage our hearts as we continue to be mothers and caregivers, Lord God, and nurturers, Lord God. I pray that you would bless us and strengthen us. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are that friend that sits closer than a brother. We thank you, Lord, how you have brought us through the years, Lord God. We thank you how you have raised our children and helped us each and every day, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to get right into our lesson. We are going into day two in the chapter on real accountability. The handout over there is the same handout we've had for the last month. I think you've been in this lesson maybe for a few weeks. And we're getting into real accountability. Day two. And we are talking about on day two, as you'll see in your lesson, it says responsibility of accountability. And I know we've been hitting on some hard things on this accountability piece. Just really talking about what it looks like. We've been talking about how we have to have our heart clean if we're going to do real warfare for people, that we're going to be people that people can be accountable to and be accountable ourselves to others. We have to deal with sin. You know, we can't have sin hanging in our lives when we are operating in accountability. So we want to, just remember that. We were talking about David, how don't let the enemy get us caught up in the mistakes we have made. And, you know, an example is King David and how he made some horrible mistakes. He committed adultery and had the husband killed. My goodness, I don't think anybody in the room has done that. If you have, don't tell me. I don't want to know. So, but even with all of that, God forgave him. And God reestablished and restored his destiny. He restored the promise. So we know that he can do the same for us because somebody held King David accountable. Remember, the prophet Nathan held King David accountable to his sin, and that turned the tide for King David so that his whole destiny, his whole legacy was not lost because somebody held him accountable. So we want to understand even more as we go into day two, the responsibility of accountability. And at the top of the page, or at the top of this lesson, it says, it's a quote from the War Room movie, and it says, since we've been friends a long time, I'm not going to just watch your marriage die. So if it's bleeding, I'm not going to just keep eating my salad. And that's from Michael in the War Room. And boy, that has a powerful punch to it, that we don't just keep going about our business when people are in trouble. We go after them and we work with them and we help them as much as we can as the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. And the next part of your lesson, this is a quote from The Christian in Complete Armor. That book is by William Renault, and this was written in 1655. It really blows my mind. And it says this, telling a trusted godly friend of your struggles often brings relief. Satan knows this too well. So in order more freely to rifle the soul of its peace and comfort, he frightens it into silence. Wow, isn't that a powerful word? It says, oh my, Satan says, if your friends knew such things of you, they would cast you off. You'd better hope they never find out. He has kept many a poor soul in misery by swearing it to secrecy. You lose two blessings by keeping the devil's secret, the counsel of your fellow brethren and their prayers. And what a serious loss this is. Hallelujah. And I want you to really take that in. And that's by, again, from The Christian in Complete Armor by William Renault. This was in 1655 when we wrote this. So you can see how long the devil's been at this, okay? That's why we need Jesus, because Satan's got a longer resume than you, okay? He's been doing this a long time, you know. But the good news is that we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he will tell us these things. So Mr. Granola is saying here, don't let Satan frighten you into secrecy and silence. I'm not saying you air your dirty laundry to everybody. That's not wise either. I said, what I'm telling you is find a trusted person that could pray with you and help you through that situation. And don't stay there alone, suffering in silence, knowing that you've got issues that need to be dealt with, and you're too afraid to tell anybody. Let the Holy Spirit show you that prayer partner. And I hope you guys are finding that prayer partner. Please find a prayer partner. You know, because there's so many things in prayer. But prayer of two is powerful. You know, the Bible talks about the prayer of agreement. When two people get together and bring those requests before God, it is just powerful. So find somebody that can encourage you and pray with you. So as we go into the next segment of your lesson, it says, there is a great responsibility in relationships. As believers in Christ, the Word of God calls the ones who would call his, her, brother, sister in accountability to be accountable themselves, to protect and love their brother and sister as they recover and heal from a fall. You're called to do this, okay? And sometimes we forget that living in this world where the media just spreads everybody's business all over the place and just has no regard, no care for the innocent people that are hurt by it. But we have got to shift our mind to a better place where Jesus tells us to be, where the Word of God tells us to be. We must be better than the world when people fall into sin because we know better. And because we have the Savior or the Rescuer in our lives, we need to be better than the world does. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is the first part of it being love. We're talking about that scripture. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love reaches beyond the sin toward rescue. Okay, so we're going to really kind of park here and just really talk about what it looks like when somebody falls and how we are to respond as the body of Christ. We're going back to Ephesians again. Ephesians 4, 29, 32. This is the New Living Translation. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. You don't know, you know, we don't even realize how much we hurt the Holy Spirit. We wound him with some of our behavior and some of the things we say. The scripture says, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. He has taken you in. You are stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying. So don't remember who you are when you behave and when you're acting out there. And it says, get rid of bitterness, of rage, of anger, of harsh words, and slander. That's a biggie. Because that's why we kind of sleep under the rug and we think it's okay, but the scripture says, get rid of it. Stop talking about people. Help people. Instead of hard talking, and this bitterness, rage, and anger, and harsh words, I mean, those are just natural things that come to us as human beings. But the Bible is telling us to get rid of it. So we're going to talk about how we get rid of this stuff, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tender-hearted. Forgiving. Oh, that's a biggie. Yeah. Forgiving one another. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You know, and someone told me once that someone that can't forgive has forgotten what they have been forgiven of. How dare we stand as Christians talking about you're not going to forgive somebody? Have you forgotten what Jesus forgave you of? Oh, that's not how we roll, folks. We have to really get into how we roll as Christians. We're different. And the next point in your lesson says, the Word of God holds us responsible to take care of our brothers and sisters when they fall. The verses in Ephesians 4 speak of practical things you can do to love people, especially those who have fallen. This list here includes several things. So we're going to go through this list in Ephesians 4 on what it means to help people be accountable. First of all, it says, be good and helpful. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as to what your goodness and help should be on how you can be helpful. You do not want to endorse ongoing sin. But you do want to help your brother and sister to know that they are not cut off from the love of Christ within you. So there's a balance going on there, because some people are actively in sin. They're still in sin. So you don't want to endorse the sin, but you want to let them know they're not cut off from the love of Christ. You know, so the Holy Spirit will have to lead you and guide you in your words and your actions on how this is to be carried out. There is no rule book, I can tell you, okay? I cannot give you a list, 7 points to doing this. It's just Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Help me from moment to interact with this person that I know you want one back to the Lord. So it's a matter of us remaining in prayer. As a believer, when you sin, you will experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, so they're already experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit, just if they're a believer. This conviction is to draw them to repentance. So even when you sin, you experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit when I sin. I feel Him right away saying, oh, I raised you better than that. You know, I can hear Him in my spirit saying, oh, you need to go back and apologize. Okay. And I go back because I don't want anything between my soul and my Savior. I said, I'm going back. Listen, I should have said that. I'm sorry. I got caught up in the moment. I'm sorry. You know, so you can get rid of that and don't let the enemy torment you. Now, when you sin, you also experience the torment of Satan. Okay, there's two things going on. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but you'll also experience the torments of Satan. And this is to draw you further away from Christ and other believers. He will torment you. Well, you already messed up now. You might as well go ahead and you can fill in the blank. That's the torments of Satan and his demons. Don't you believe it? Don't you listen to it? Jesus' arms are open wide. And what you find in believers, when they fall, they will avoid other Christians and they will resent them sometimes. If this is you, you can still resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can still resist the devil. Sometimes we just, you know, resentful. You know, don't want to go to church anymore, don't want to go to Bible study, just resentful. You know, because the enemy torments the mind into making them think everybody's condemning you. So why should I go back to Bible study? Why should I go to church when they all know what I did and they're going to be condemning me and looking down at me? Oh, man, I'm telling you. If you see people like that coming in the door, race up to them and just hug them. Listen, good to see you. Just hug them. I'm so glad to see you. So that liar is put to rest. If you see them on the street, you know, that's more than likely that's where you're going to see them. You're going to see them at Walmart. You're going to see them at the mall. Just, oh, how are you doing? So good to see you. You know, let them know that they are accepted and received in the beloved of Christ. That they are loved. Because I'll tell you, that world out there does not love them. And they're learning that. They're realizing that. But they're sometimes afraid to come back into the house of God. Over all of the voices, remember the word of God when you're going through, when you're feeling that. And I remember what the scripture says. The scripture says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them as wool. And I love this, the way that the prophet Isaiah writes this, because it's almost as if God is inviting you to have a conversation with Him while you're in your sin. He sees all your sin. He's seen everything that you did. And He's inviting you to have a conversation with Him. He can just wipe you out. Don't you know? He can just speak it in your car. But instead, He's inviting you to come to Him and let's have a conversation. Let's reason together. Let's talk this out. Daughter, let's talk this out, son. Let's talk this out, daughter, so you can see that I love you. Because God knows when you finish having a conversation with Him, you're going to know that you're loved, and you're going to know that everything's going to be all right. He wants to talk to you about the sin problem in your life, because sin is a problem. It can't help but be a problem, okay? You know, people think they can live with sin and be happy. No, it's going to be a problem. It's messy, and it is a killer. So it's going to be a problem. Okay, so God wants to talk to you about it. So we go into the next segment of this Ephesians, looking at the Ephesians 4 list. It says, get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger. We can often become angry with a brother or sister who has sinned. We can feel that they have made us all us Christians, look at it, because they have embarrassed the cause of Christ. And yeah, all that's going on. Yeah. We're embarrassed. Okay, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe they did that. And I know everybody knows they're a Christian. Yeah, those feelings are going on. But folks, again, we've got to do better. We've got to get above. See, the world does stuff like that. You know, we don't reject. You know, we feel bad, and yes, you feel embarrassed, and yes, especially when people come to you and say, hey, I thought Joe was a Christian. Did you hear what he did? I thought he was a Christian, and you don't know how to respond. You know, when you respond, like, well, you know what? We're praying for Joe. You know, we're going to love on Joe. That's how we roll. That's how we roll in Christianity. You know, we love people. You know, and sometimes we're embarrassed to say it, but no, don't reject them. We must take these feelings to the Holy Spirit in prayer. Because you don't have to deny that you have the feelings, because they're really there. But take them to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I am so upset. I'm so angry that this happened. I can't believe they did this, Holy Spirit. To be like David. David would tell God just what he thought, honey. Remember I told you David said, I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I don't know what a perfect hatred feels like, but David said, I hate them. So tell God how you feel. You know, reason with them. He said, go have a conversation with God. He's inviting all of us to have. Come, let us talk this out. Come on. I know you're upset. Come on, let's talk this out. And let the Lord talk this out with you. So take your feeling to the Holy Spirit. Our Lord will never encourage us toward hatred of a fallen brother or sister. So if you're feeling that is not Jesus, okay? That is not Jesus, because he does not encourage us toward hatred toward a fallen brother or sister. The love of Christ can overcome our natural feelings of resentment in these situations. But you must pray. You must bring it to him. You must pray. You can hold on to those feelings, because some of us feel so justified in our anger and our rage, we are not going to pray about it. We're going to hold on to it because we feel justified in being angry and being resentful and giving somebody the cold shoulder. We feel justified. Oh, but that's not Jesus. I'm telling you right now. I'm putting you on notice right now. That is not Jesus. That is some other spirit operating in you. And you need to take that to the cross and lay it down and talk to the Lord about this. So you can get rid of, as the scripture says, bitterness, rage, and anger about things. It says, get rid of slander. Put that in the category all by itself. This is the thing that we really have to resist. When someone falls, our tongues may be itching to spread the news, but this is not the way of our Lord. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to realize where we were born, honey. Where we were raised. We were born in Babylon, raised in Babylon. We're soiled by Babylon. That's why the scripture says the work he began in you, he has to continue to perform it until he comes. Because you got all the revenue of Babylon. We don't act like everybody else when we hear something. We keep it quiet. No, I'm not going to spread that. You got to be careful. Love covers the faults in our brothers and sisters. And that's in 1 Peter 4:8. Love seeks to restore people, not to exile them. For every person you tell, there is more of a separation of a fallen person from the body of Christ. For every person you tell, there's another separation. Another separation. You must keep in mind what you're supposed to be about. You're supposed to be fighting for them. Remember, this is war. This is war. And you're coming alongside that fallen soldier. That soldier's got a bullet in him next to you. And the last thing he needs for you is to be putting him out in front of the enemy. He needs you to pull him down into the foxhole.
gospel. He can't hold his gun and shoot right now. But he needs you on point, protecting him, not exposing him to the enemy. So don't stick more knives in them with your tongue. Protect them. So get rid of slander, it says. The next point says, instead be kind-hearted, kind and tender-hearted. This reverse attitude from bitterness, rage, and anger can come into you through the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can do this. I'm a witness. Because I've been mad at some people. You know, and I take it to prayer, and the Holy Spirit just lifts that stuff and brings in love. Now, the enemy tries to bring it back again and again, especially if somebody brings up the topic. The enemy tries to bring it back again, and you got to say, Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit. You know, don't add words to it. You know, because somebody, the enemy's going to have somebody bring it up to you. I'm going to give you notice right now. Somebody's going to bring it back up to you. But be ready with the Holy Spirit. Like I let that go. So let's move on. I've forgiven that, so let's move on. You got to tell people, because people need to hear that. They need to hear that. You know, businesses, you know, closed. Business is closed as far as gossip. Business is closed here. We're not into that. So we want to be kind-hearted, tender-hearted. This is the attitude of our Lord. See, he forgave Peter's betrayal and was tender-hearted toward him. His angels calling him by name after the resurrection. If you look at Mark 16:7, it's amazing. Those angels called Peter by name. He said, tell my disciples and Peter. You know, call him by name because Jesus knew Peter would recover and be one of his greatest apostles. And I believe Jesus knew how Peter was feeling. You know, Peter, I mean, I'm like, he is such an example of a backslider, of somebody that's fallen. You know, he hung out with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus so much that people recognized him. When Jesus wasn't with him, they recognized him as one of Jesus' followers. That's why they came at him 3 times in one night. Because they knew he was one of Jesus' peeps, okay? So we should have the same hope for fallen people as Jesus had for Peter. We love to hear the testimonies of people who were deep in sin and came out of Christ. I remember Nikki Cruz was with us a few weeks ago. You know, just hearing his testimony. I mean, we get chill bumps when we hear about him and the gangbanger and, the drug dealer, you know, and how they came to Jesus. We hear John Ramirez's book. You know, he was a Satan worshiper and how he came out of Satan worshiper. And now he's a preacher. And he's writing books, and we get chill bumps about that. But we have a different attitude when it comes to somebody that was in Christ and then fell. It's a different story then. You know, we don't have that same concern to restore. You know, it's almost like, oh, they are in it and they didn't listen. You know, yeah. Peter hung out with Jesus. He heard all the sermons. He was right there. He saw the miracles. Can you imagine? He saw the miracles, people. And he still. And Jesus told him ahead of time. He said, I need to go down to Jerusalem. And when I go down to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be condemned. And I'm going to be put to death. But I'm going to rise on the third day. He told and laid out the whole plan for Peter. And Peter still denied it. So folks, oh boy, I'm telling you, we got to get with the program. We got to be like Jesus. He sent for Peter, especially. You know, he said, ask him, tell Peter to come, because Peter is going to be one of my greatest apostles. Even before, Jesus already knew Peter was going to deny him, and he still said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He still said it, knowing all the things that Peter was going to go through. So I want you all to be encouraged. If you've fallen, if you've gone through stuff, I'm telling you, be encouraged. You don't have to sit way in the rafters. You come on up to the front row. I dare you. I dare you to come to the front row. And be sitting up there. Like, yeah, I'm waiting for my blessing from Jesus. You know? I used to sit up in those rafters. I was just embarrassed. You know? I mean, folks, I was a pastor's wife. Okay? I don't know if y'all know that. You know? And we just went through a horrible time. We went through a divorce, and I just came, after staying out of church for like 6 months, I just kind of snuck into Praise Assembly because it was the biggest church in Pueblo. And I just snuck into this guy to go with it. I can't let my children be in church, so I just put my children in children's church. Maybe they will notice who they are. You know, I just put them in there, and I just go and sit up in the rafters and just listen to Jesus, listen to the Word of God. That's the way I felt. The enemy had my mind all jacked up, you know. I mean, all messed up from what we had been through. You know, one day, my goodness. You know, so I thank God for Pastor Bobby Woods. I remember talking to Pastor Bobby Woods because the Lord told me one day, I was sitting up there in those rafters, and the Lord told me, it was about a year. I sat up there for about a year, and the Lord said to me, "Are you done yet?" Are you done yet? Because we got work to do. But you know what happened to us. I can't be out there in front of anybody anymore. I'm just too messed up. Are you done yet? You need to go talk to Pastor Wilson. I'm like, okay. I guess he'll tell me. He'll put me in my place real quick. I know. So I made that appointment to go see Pastor Tony Wilson. And I remember he said to me, "Karen, any ministry in this church you can't get involved in. You hear me?" And I was like, "Really?" You know? And that was the beginning. And he sent me to the Sunday school. The Sunday school. The place where they teach other people about Jesus. I'm like, "No, not there. I'm usher." You know? Or something like that. And you know, we all in the Sunday school. Oh, but Jesus met me in the Sunday school, folks. Jesus met me in Sunday school. My daughter, I remember my daughter Kristen. She, you know, she was all my kids, and she was just all messed up in her head too. So she didn't want to go to the main sanctuary. I said, "Well, you know, Kristen, you know, there's a youth service going on." She goes, "Can I just go volunteer in the children's church?" Because she wanted to hide out with Jesus too. She was kind of upset with God too. "Why did this happen to my family, Lord?" And so I said, "Okay, baby, as long as you're in church, just go and volunteer in the children's church." And we just did that for a while. And I saw Jesus met her in children's church. She was 14 years old, and I was like, "Jesus met her in children's church."
Praise God.
I went in there one day, and you know, she started talking different. I noticed she started talking different. When we got in the car after church, she was talking different. She goes, "Oh, some of those people, some of those children in the children's church, they need Jesus so much." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Yeah, they do. They do need Jesus." And I said, "Oh, don't push it. Just." Be quiet. Holy Spirit is doing something. When the Holy Spirit is doing something, you need to just be quiet. Okay? And especially as moms and dads, because we like to jump on it and just like, "Okay, let's get you in the Bible camp right now." The Holy Spirit said, just listen. And then I remember, I don't think today, I walked into the children's church. And I saw her laying hands on the children and praying. And I was like, "Oh my God. She is praying for the children." Oh my God. Jesus met her in children's church. And then before she was leading praise and worship, I was like, Jesus will meet you. See, we try to hide out from Jesus, but Jesus will meet you. Jesus will meet you at work. Jesus will meet you at McDonald's. Jesus will meet you at Walmart, folks. Some of us are trying to hide out from Jesus, but he will meet us. To let us know that we are accepted in the beloved. You know, so we have to have the same hope and excitement about restoring brothers and sisters. We don't want to see them as second-class believers, because that's how we don't say it out loud, but that's what we think in our mind. Second-class believers. Because they messed up. They've fallen. You know, some of the great creatures that used to be on TV, some of them are back on TV. And sometimes we look at them a little different. Oh, They're second-class preachers. Oh, that's not true, folks. They can do the greatest of works, just like Peter. Peter started the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember, they're in the same category as Peter. And so we want to think differently and have a hope for people. So, kind and tender-hearted is a piece Next part, forgive. Oh, man. Forgive. What a beautiful and relieving command from the Word of God. Forgiveness releases both your brother and sister and you from the pains of past sin. It releases you. Forgiveness is such a relief. You know, sometimes we hold to that. We think, you know, because we know as we hold to unforgiveness, we have a power over somebody. You know, and that's what forgiveness is, that unforgiveness is all about, is having a power over somebody because they know that they did you wrong. You know, so if I don't forgive you, I have some kind of hold and power. You do. You do. And you don't want to release that hold. But it's holding them and it's holding you too. It's holding you too. It's such a relief when you finally forgive them and let it go. Forgiveness breathes fresh air into the situation and gives the fallen brother or sister a hand up into a new day. Forgiveness brings relief. The burden of holding something toward others is lifted off of you. You don't even realize you're carrying that burden, but unforgiveness is a burden that you need to let go of. And let me tell you something. Note this, if you continue to hold on to the burden of unforgiveness, it will twist your soul. I know what I'm talking about. It will twist your soul and you will gradually become hardened as it contaminates and colors all of your other interactions with other people because you won't forgive that one thing that happened to you with that person. It colors everything else. All your other interactions with people is colored because you have not let go of that thing that happened. And this is where bitter and mean people spawn from. I'm convinced. Bitter people, mean people. You know, sometimes you see mean teenagers and bitter teenagers. Sometimes you see older people that are just bitter and angry and mean. Like, you didn't do anything to them. You know, they're just angry. You know, just angry at the whole world. Just mean. I'm at Walmart the other day. And this man was standing there with his two items, and this little mom came up next to him, and she was struggling with two kids, and she came up kind of side of him and kind of got a little out in front of him. And, you know, and he said to her, "Don't you see me standing here?" You know, here she's struggling, and she just kind of eased a little buggy and her little baby's back away from the man. I was like, "Lord, I mean, really?" You know, and then he came. Next to me, you know, one of those self-checkout places, and he came next to me, and I was afraid to look at him. I'm like, I'm gonna look at him. He might tell, ask me what I'm looking at. But I went in the prayer, I said, "Lord, just bless this man. Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on with him. And Lord, I just feel that unforgiveness is stuff that he needs to let go of, so he's mad at everybody. You know, even yelling at a mom and two little babies. You know, you should have let her go first. You know, she's struggling. You know, and she just sat back. She didn't even say a word. She just sat back. You know, probably fear for the lives of her children. She just, don't hear my children. You know. So we just see that all around. And again, pray. You see people like that, just pray. Just pray, Lord, I just pray. Because there's something going on with this man. You know, there's something that deep-seated that he has not released. He's not let go of it. So he's angry at everybody and angry at the world. So you run into people like that. So don't let unforgiveness do that to you. Let it go, folks. It is not worth it. I'm telling you, attorney, I don't care what it is. And some horrible things. I know some horrible things can happen on this earth to people. But I'm telling you, take it to Jesus. Sometimes the forgiveness is a process. But begin the process. So you can be set free. So you can do what the Lord would have you to do. So again, this is the list out of Ephesians 4. The next one of your lesson says, "No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends." And that's John 15:13 in the Amplified. And that was said by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and it's important to understand that laying down your life is not just in death, but sometimes laying down your life is an everyday life. Giving your time. Leaving an argument off is laying down your life. I'm not going to argue my point. Even though I have a good point, I'm not going to argue my point. I'm going to lay down my life for my friend or my family member right now. That's what it means. Laying down your living life so that you don't get your point all the time. Sometimes you just say, you know, just forgive me. I'm sorry. Even though you were not in the wrong. Forgive me. You know, how can I help? That's how we roll. That's how we roll, folks. We're in front of the enemy. We're not letting Satan push our buttons anymore. This is war. As I said, this is war. That means you don't let him push your buttons. So we get ahead of that. Next part in the lesson says, part of having a Christian community is having friends who will walk through difficulty with you and also hold you accountable to your commitment to Christ. We are never so vulnerable to sin than when we are alone. You need someone. There's got to be somebody that you're connecting to, that you're talking to. Because when you're alone, the enemy loves that, because he can get all in your head. When you're alone, you need the perspective of somebody else. As I said, we have blind spots when it comes to ourselves. We can't see our own stuff. But our friends can. Our family can. You need to let somebody look at those blind spots. That mole in the middle of your back that you can't see. Somebody needs to examine that. You know, so you've got to let people in and let, because don't be alone. We need community to remind us to remain strong, and that's from the War Room book. Next point says, accountability takes effort, time, and deliberate action on our part toward a brother or sister. We may have to make sacrifices of our time and energy, lay down our lives, plans, and agendas to help a fallen brother or sister. We may have to stand by them through shameful processes, like going to court, or going through a divorce, or other shameful things. We have to stand with them because of the consequences of their sin. Oh, wow, that's a biggie. Standing with them when they have messed up. Going to court with them. You know, standing by them. You know, they're the defendant. Okay? They're defending themselves. You know, because they have messed up. But I tell you, can we stand? Can we make those sacrifices of time and energy? Because sometimes we're so caught up in reputation. Oh, but I remind you of Jesus. Jesus was not caught up in his reputation, man. He knew who he was. I am the Son. He's the Son of God. And I'll hang out with whoever I want to hang out with. Even his disciples. Like, you don't want to go to Zacchaeus' house. Do you know who he is? He's a tax collector. Nobody likes him. He's a thief. Jesus said, I told Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner. I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go prepare. I love that about Jesus. He hung out with whoever needed him. You know? They were mad at him in the synagogue, so he went and talked on the hillside. You know, he just hung out with the people that were in need. He didn't care about what people thought. He just did what the Father told him to do, and that's key too. Do what the Father told him to do. I'm not telling you to go hang out with gangs, okay? I'm telling you to do what the Father tells you to do, okay? So we have to understand this, helping the brother or sister, being with them, even when they are suffering the consequences of their sin. Often the fallen brother or sister cannot be with them. I'm sorry, often the father, brother, sister's family cannot be with them due to their own grief and needing to heal. Folks, I know this. I know what this is like. Sometimes the family can't be there because they're trying to heal from the whole thing too. Oh, so that's where we really need the body of Christ to be there. You know, helping both sides of the issue. Helping the family and helping the person that caused the problem. You know, that's where we need those Christian liaisons, if you will, that's working to unify the family, if that can be done. But ministering to both sides so that both come to Christ. This is when the presence of the body of Christ is most important. It is easy to shoot our wounded. Oh, that's what the world does, folks. Oh, but our Lord shines best in the darkness of a broken life. Oh, it's easy to shoot the wounded. Forget them. Let them go. Who cares? Move next. Next person. But Jesus doesn't do that. He goes after the wounded. I'm reminded of that picture. You guys know that picture. You saw Jesus going to get that lamb that's sitting on the side of the cliff. I remember that picture when I was a kid and Jesus is reaching for that little lamb that's on the side of the cliff. Left the herd. And now he's on the side of the cliff, lost. See, that's what our Lord does. He goes and he reaches for that one that has fallen off the side of the cliff. So we have to overcome the mindset of the world and be the children of the living God. Oh, wow. Boy, if we would do this, Lord, we would win this world. I'm telling you, because there are so many broken people out there. They're everywhere. They're everywhere, folks. Oh, but let the Holy Spirit just lead you on how we minister. Most of the ministry takes place out there, not in here. This is our restoring, our refreshing, and our refueling place. And then we go out. You know, and we had a motto at our church back home. It said, enter to worship, depart to serve. And boy, that came back at me like, that's what it's about. We enter the church to worship, but we depart to serve. You know, to serve the purposes of God. And that's what we need to do, is to serve his purposes. The next point in your lesson says, sometimes being a friend is just about being there. No sermons, no Bible studies, just being there as the living word of God. Having coffee, celebrating a birthday, and showing your brother and sister that God is near, that God is here. You know, just loving them, having dinner. Next point says, remember, a good accountability partner can be trusted to keep a confidence. This is another important point to this. Closeness in relationships is built upon trust. And this is from our book. And building trust is a day-to-day work, okay? Especially if you're just starting into a relationship. It's a day-to-day work. But I believe the Holy Spirit will let people know, even though they don't know it's the Holy Spirit, they will let people know that this person can be trusted and you can share. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. People just telling you stuff about their life and you just know them for like a week or a few days and they start pouring their life out to you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has told me this person to be trusted. You know, talk to them. And we want to be there. We want to be able to keep that confidence. When people start doing that, be sure to keep the confidence. You know, because you're building trust. Someone told me trust is like filling a bathtub with a teaspoon. Little by little. Little by little. And when it's lost, it's like somebody pulled the drain. And to recover, teaspoon by teaspoon. So start building the trust and keeping the trust, keeping the confidence. God is doing the work, and he wants to be able to trust you. So build that trust for your brother and sister. Next point in your lesson says, for the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend so that he does not turn away from the fear of the Almighty. And that's Job 6:15. Boy, I thought that was really poignant scripture. For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend so that he does not abandon or turn away from the fear of the Almighty. Wow, remember your God's representative. And if they can trust you, then they can trust God. See, they may just feel certain things, certain ways about God. They don't know the truth. They may not understand the truth about God. So you're the representative. And as they start to trust you, then they'll trust God. You know, that's the way that works. You know, God working through his people. The first point of your lesson says the Christian who has fallen is teetering on a cliff. He or she could be pulled back into the safety of Christ or jump off into the abyss of Satan. So it's up to you. Again, sometimes it's up to you. I'm not saying it's all on you. It's all your, you know, they jump, it's your fault. I'm just saying, just be sensitive as to the place where they are. They're on an abyss. And sometimes if you don't know what to say, just be praying. If nothing else, you're praying. You know, they don't want to hear me, but I'm praying. You know, you don't even have to tell them you're praying. Just pray. I'm telling you, the Lord will dispatch angels. I know this and that. He'll dispatch angels and ministers, and sometimes the ministry will come through other people. It may not be you, especially when it's a family member. You know, and I'm telling you, especially when it's children. Sometimes they've heard daddy. Oh, you just go into prayer. You just go into prayer and watch God send ministry. God will send ministry. I tell you, I guarantee you, but you got to pray. It's not going to be happy, right? It's just looking at them. I can't believe. Oh, are you in trouble again? Oh, now what? Oh, that won't help anybody. That just feeds what the enemy's doing. But be going to prayer. Listen. Sometimes they'll come to you. Listen. And choose your words carefully. Remember, I want you to get a picture of somebody teetering on the edge of the cliff. And your words can make the difference. Your prayers make the difference. So we want to be careful there. The importance of prayer for that brother or sister cannot be overemphasized. That person is in spiritual and mental combat for their soul. Prayer brings reinforcements from heaven to fight the lies of demons. Do you understand? They are fighting demons. And when you pray, oh God, oh, he dispatches those holy angels that cut those demons asunder because you have prayed. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said that Satan has desired to sift you, meaning to take you out. Sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Meaning, Peter, don't even worry, because I prayed for you. So you've got to remember the same thing concerning your loved ones and your friends. Like, Satan desires to take them, but I am going to pray for them. And it's going to make all the difference. Folks, we're talking about warfare. I hope you're hearing me. We got to get our prayer life together. Please don't tell me you don't have time. I'm telling you, get up early. Get up early. Your body will line up. After a while, you know, you give your body like a week getting up early. Even if you just have to walk around your house and pray so you don't fall back to sleep. When I say get up out of the bed, okay? Don't be saying, Jesus, I'm going to pray right here. Because, you know, you can pray for like 30 seconds and you back to sleep. Well, this is war. You get me sleeping? Get up! And I'll tell you, after a week, your body will line up with what your spirit has said to do. And you'll take that time and pray. Get up. Organize your prayer time. Have your prayer list ready. Sit on your bedside. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. and this is the list we're going to hit tomorrow. Organize it. Prayer should not be just nonchalant. You know, bless everybody, Jesus. Amen. No, we got to get before the Father. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much to us. We could change the world. We could change the nation. If we would just get up and pray. So let's get up. Let's do what we're supposed to do. They're in mental and spiritual combat for their soul. But prayer will bring the reinforcement. Prayer moves you into how to act and respond to your brothers and sisters. You know, when the prayer brings the Holy Spirit close to you, you can hear the Holy Spirit when he's telling you what to say. Recognize when you're in a critical moment with your brothers and sisters. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide your tongue and guide your actions. Sometimes you didn't even see it coming, and they'll ask you something about Jesus, something spiritual, and you didn't even expect that today. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me what to say. Guide me. I know they're right on the edge, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will give you what to say and what to do. The next point of your lesson says, the man of too many friends, chosen indiscriminately, will be broken in pieces and come to ruin. But there is a true loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer than a brother. That's Proverbs 18:24. Oh boy, let's break this down a little bit. And we have seen the consequences. We see the consequences of when people have too many friends. You see it in your children. You know, especially when they hit the teen years and young adult years, and they've got all these people in their life. And you can just spot them. You can spot them at the door. Like, oh, that's not a good one. You know, and of course, they're holding on to them. You know, so too many friends can break people into pieces. The term friend does not necessarily mean they are good for you. You know, you may say a lot of people are your friends. It doesn't mean they're good for you. I've always asked the Lord, Lord, keep the people in my life that you want in my life. And take the people out of my life that you want out of my life. Even if they're Christians. Because even Christians don't necessarily belong in your life all the time, especially when they've got things going on and issues going on. You know, I know the Lord has taken people out of my life that didn't need to be in my life because they weren't edifying for me at the time. You know, and sometimes you run into people that have their agenda, and they want you to be a part of the agenda, but you know the Lord is telling you something else, but they're insisting on you being, I'm like, Lord, see, I don't need you in my life. You know, because I can't do that, because the commander-in-chief has got me here. You know, and you're pulling me over there. So you're pulling me, I know you don't mean to. And if they don't mean to, I'm not saying that they're bad people, you've got to know what the commander-in-chief has told you to do, and do it. And be on assignment. So again, you don't want to have so many friends that you're pulled in all these directions. You need to know what the Lord is telling you to do. And do what he has told you to do. You know, as I said, they're not bad people. They're just people that just need to understand. You know, sometimes there are people that are not mature in the Lord. You know, so you don't want to be listening to people that are not mature in the Lord. You know, it's like, are you going to listen to Private Jones, or are you going to listen to Captain Jesus? Okay, because Captain Jesus has a strategy. Captain Jesus knows the battle plan. And here Captain Jones is telling you, hey, why don't we go over there and fight? And Captain Jesus is like, I have you here. I know why I have you here. So that's what we got to know. We got to know exactly where we're supposed to be in the Lord. Next point. It's always important to take in the whole counsel of God when considering accountability in the body of Christ. This scripture in Proverbs 18 hits on the balance of John 15:13 and Job 6:15. So we just read those scriptures. You know, what about no greater love than a person lay down his life for a friend? And then Job 15, for the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend so that he does not abandon or turn away from the fear of the Almighty. So this scripture kind of brings the balance. Don't have so many friends that you're pulling all directions. I love the Bible because the Bible hits on everything. It hits on everything. People say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. The Bible just hits every situation known to man. And sometimes that it's for this situation. This scripture is for this situation, and that scripture is for that situation. I love the Bible. It has answers for everything that you may need in this life. So your note says we love and forgive our fallen brothers and sisters. But what do we do if they choose to continue in sin? Isn't that a good question? Because I know we all, we ask it, what do you do if they continue in sin? You know, what I heard how many people ask me, what do you do? You know, I've been praying and I've been loving them. So what do you do if they continue in sin? What do we do if they justify their sinful actions? You know, they justify it. You know, and they think, you know, they really don't believe everything in the Word of God. I run into Christians like that. They believe some stuff, but they're not believing everything. Yeah, Jesus died for my sin, God accepted him into my heart, but really, do you think in 2018 that applies? Certain things that they talk about. So what do you do when they justify their sinful acts? We'll talk about that a bit. Proverbs 18:24 describes this man and woman as one who has too many friends. Possibly both Christians and unbelieving friends. The Bible says such persons will be broken into pieces and come to ruin. There are many scriptures that support this. You know, because usually when you get Christians like this, it's because they have so many voices in their ears. Some people are you know, they're good friends. Oh, they're my good friends. But that good friend doesn't know his Lord. You know, I don't know if you've ever been there. But good friends loved them. They didn't know Jesus. You know, they knew I loved Jesus. And they loved me. They accepted me. Even though I love Jesus, but I can only go so far with them. You know, but I didn't want to accept that yet. You know, but I'm not saying cut off your unbelieving friends. I'm just saying you've got to know who you are in Christ and not let them pull you into something, into thinking something is okay when the Bible clearly says it's sin. So what do you do in these situations? There are scriptures that support this. It says, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? Question mark. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, so again, the Bible is always true. It's always telling you the truth. Even though we don't want to hear it, it's true. You know, and then there's Luke 16:13 that says, no one can serve two masters. And this is Jesus. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is making it crystal clear that you come to this fork in the road. We all get there. You know, so this is what we're dealing with. The Bible hits on all the complications of human life. And I remember Amy Grant was singing a song a long time ago. You need to know who not to listen to, the song went. They're going to hit you from all sides. You better make up your mind who not to listen to. You know, I thought that was such a cool song back in the day, but it really ministered to me later. I said, I got to know who not to listen to. Because they're hitting me from all sides. But I've got to make up my mind who not to listen to. You know, so that's where we are. That's where we are sometimes. The next point says the hope built into this verse in Proverbs is that there is a true and loving friend who is reliable. This is a reference to God. So that scripture is telling you, yeah, you have all these friends, but there is a friend that sticks closer to the brother. That's the one you listen to. And it's a reference to God. There is no hope for the conflict. There is hope for the conflicted brother and sister within the best friend they could ever have, which is Jesus Christ. So they're conflicted. Yes, they're conflicted. But there is hope for them. Remember, don't cast them away either. There is hope. There is a friend to whom we point our fallen brothers and sisters. We point them to Jesus. You want to be there because the scriptures already describe what's going to happen. That they're going to be broken into pieces. And you want to be there so that you're helping them when they get there. Sometimes, as believers, we have to get there. You know, you think once you get to Christendom that you don't go through this stuff, but you do. You do, because we have to be one. You know, we have to continue growing in Christ. You know, Jesus said the work he's begun, he continues to perform it. That means we have work still to be done on us. So when you run to a brother and sister like this, you just keep loving them because you know what's going to happen. Something's going to give sooner or later because sin is always messy. Sin is always destructive. So it's coming. So you just want to be close by. Next point says, we come back to the question on what would you do when a brother or sister resists accountability? And in Proverbs 18:1-2, it describes this person. He who willfully separates himself from God and man, seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A closed-minded fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions, unwittingly displays his self-indulgence and his stupidity. And that's Proverbs 18:1-2. Boy, that's pretty plain. And the stupidity is not because he or she is not listening to you, but because they're not listening to God. You know, it's so plain. You know, the way of God is so plain, guys. It is so plain. You know, sometimes, you know, the human race is so illogical. We don't even make sense. We don't make sense. You know, you just wonder why people do things. That hurts you. That destroys you. But yet, we do it. You know, not only do we do it, we make laws to protect it. You know, that's what we do as a human race. You know, and that is defined as stupidity. You're killing yourself. Why do you do that? So again, we know that at some point, that person is going to find themselves in a situation where they're going to need help. And again, that's where you come in. Sometimes you do have to let them go. Sometimes you do have to just give them that rope. Don't preach to them every time you see them, you just love on them. But the day comes. And I just encourage you, when the day comes, love them. Don't condemn them. Don't beat them with the Bible. Love them back. Okay, you want to go to church? I'll call you up. Hey, can I go to church with you? Oh, yeah. We'll be about to pick you up. Okay? Okay, come on. Yeah, you can sit with me. And let the Holy Spirit do it. You know, so again, folks, you know, this whole lesson on warfare, we're going to end right there, we're out of time. This whole lesson on warfare is all about us being warriors for Christ. But we have to understand what that looks like. I think we thought we knew what it looks like. But as I'm doing this lesson, I'm realizing we don't know what this looks like. We don't know that it's about love. It's about love. It's about love. I'm telling you, the scripture says the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty through God. And they'll pull down strongholds. Mighty through God and His Holy Spirit. And the first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Warfare. So we got to get there, folks. I know we have to get there. I have to get there. We have to get there. We have to, you know, I'm telling you, that's why our first session in War Room was on honest evaluation. So as we're learning, I implore you, get in your prayer closet and ask the Lord to teach you how to love. And that love aspect by itself will do wonders for your warfare, for the people you're in warfare with, for. Just love them. So again, anybody have any comments?
Everything that Jesus is, I want to be. Because love conquers all.
Yes.
sin. And that's
absolutely. Love
will do sin.
Yeah. Well said.
I'm just saying this, one brother that he got born again and everything, and ministered to him and everything, but I didn't know he was just going on and so, the Lord just turned to him. I don't know what else to do, we just have to go to him.
And that's why you can do this, pray. And you know, and the enemy can tell us all kinds of things. Gosh, it's your fault. You did something wrong. You know, the enemy can tell himself, oh, they did that, so I'm offended. You know, but I know that as you pray, the Holy Spirit can penetrate all those lies, whatever, wherever they are, you know, and clarify things, you know. And I would keep praying for them because that person knows where their safe place is, you know, because, you know, when they're ready, because you see what the scripture says, when they're ready, I believe they'll come knocking on the door. They'll be calling. Can I meet with you? Can I come to church with you? Like I said, that's the way I've seen it many times. But I've gone through the same thing, like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Did they, you know, they were doing so well, and then, you know, but later on, they came back, you know, and they, you know, and it was just a matter of letting them come back. Anybody else have comments?
I think we're good with this.
And usually it's come from something that happened that you don't let go of. Yes.
So, that keeps stirring on you. You have to keep it back.
Yes. I'm telling you, unforgiveness holds two people in bondage, both persons in bondage. So let yourself go. Let that person go and let Jesus take it. You know, let God keep score. God keeps score, folks. You don't have to keep score. Let God keep score. Okay? So you don't have to give people back. You don't have to get revenge. Let God take care of it. You know, just like he takes care of you. He forgave you. You know, he erased your scoreboard when you got saved. He erased it. So let him do that for somebody else.
Ephesians 1:6 says, being accepted in the beloved, and the support of Jesus Christ, to be an ambassador for the religious they're speaking from. But to love what Jesus has forgiven us of all our sin, and he's also filled us with his love, not just so that we could forgive also, but so that we could love your us. And just hearing your story, and then I mean, just to share a little bit of mind going through the work. That was an awful thing to go through too. It's always almost, my hands already been 18 years. But God has brought healing.
Yes.
And it's so neat to know that we're healed, because when we see the person, the hurt isn't there.
Yes. Amen.
And that's real love, because I have seen my former husband, because of the funeral, but he apologized, you know, and I told him, don't even have to visit guilt.
Yes.
I said, live the life that you have now, and don't worry about me, because God is taking care of you.
Amen.
But that's real love.
Wow, boy, that is beautiful. Boy, thank you for sharing that, Data. Because that's the way Jesus does. He restores. And he does. He you know, we think that Jesus can't deal with our feelings, but he does. I'm amazed at how he can erase stuff that was once in your heart, and it's gone. You know, you can see that person, talk to that person. There's no resentment, no bitterness, because Jesus has just taken it.
Amen. Amen.
And just erased it as only He can do. So we just thank Him for that. So let's pray, everyone. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Jesus, for just being who You are. And we thank You, Lord, and we pray right now, Lord, that You would give us the wisdom, oh Lord, to minister and to be accountable to and accountable for our brothers and sisters, Lord. Help us to understand the responsibility that we hold as children of the living God. Father, I pray from this day forward, we do not take lightly, oh Lord, what You have called us to be and what You have called us to, Lord God. I pray that we would be faithful, that we would remember who we are, whose we are, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that You would help us, lead us to prayer partners, Lord God. Lead us to warfare, Lord God. Show us how You would want us to do, be. And Lord, we pray that You would help our prayer life, Lord God. Father, I pray You make our prayers effectual and fervent, oh Lord, that they may avail much, Lord. Show us how to get up, oh Lord, and take time out, carve time out so that we can pray. It's the most important hour of the day. Just to pray, oh Lord, over our loved ones and over people that need prayer. So Lord, we just thank You and we praise You. And we expect Your Holy Spirit this week to move upon us. To move upon us, to lead us, to guide us, to guide our tongues, to guide our actions, Lord God, and just lead us in prayer. And we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.